Okie doke. That is entertainment. This is That's Entertainment. And we have with us Michael Lenny. Hi, Michael.
Hello, Greg
Hughes. How are you getting on?
I'm getting on very well. Delighted to be here, as always.
Your partner in crime is absent at the moment.
Yes,
I see. That's the problem when you own a radio station. Oh, hold on a second.
Wait a second.
Who's
Whoa.
This?
Oh, we have a visitor.
We need another set of headphones.
Going to be mad at me now.
Right. Okay, so introduce our guest, Fionnuala. For those watching, you'll know exactly what we're talking about. If you're listening to this on the radio, you're thinking, what's going on?
You will be wondering what's going on, but we have a very special guest in studio today.
And
it is my beautiful grandson, Reuben Kelly.
He's beautiful, isn't he? How old is he?
He is 8 months old.
It's amazing. They don't stay sort of delicate and babyish very long, do
I know,
they?
He really turned boy all of a sudden during the summer.
It's just like,
during the summer.
He looks like he's ready for national school.
Don't be fascinated by Michael. We do not want you to end up becoming a big comic book nerd.
Come on, take a proper,
we don't.
No one will see you just so you can get a proper picture. Come on, nanny. I will not talk to you. You don't have to say anything. You're not being camera, but just get a good proper picture, nanny.
Now, this is my beautiful grand. Oh, no.
Oh, he spots mummy and she's gone. That is a familiar sight in our house.
We are going to go. We'll go back out again. But we wanted to say hello to Greg and to Mike.
Reuben, hi.
Hello. What did you watch this week, Reuben? What did you watch this week?
He is watching an awful lot of Elmo.
Of course.
He's very big into Elmo. That's his
thumbs
big
up
thing
for Elmo.
At the moment.
Fireman Sam, too young for Fireman Sam.
No, I think he's just more now. He's into the singing and the
dancing. Spotted my bald head. Kids love my bald head. Yes, you've more hair than me, son.
And he does like a bit of Irish as well, so he likes to watch a bit of Irish cartoons.
He'd be going to see Kneecap then over the weekend.
Exactly.
Of course,
totally
yeah.
Wanted to go and
totally.
See Kneecap down
could see that. Could totally see that. That was last night, yeah.
It was past his bedtime, just slightly.
Sorry about that, Reuben. Sorry about that.
All right. I'll bring him back out to his mummy now again before she gives out to me.
Okay.
Oh, I hope she gives out to you anyway.
Ready for his radio career.
He's got
this
it.
Is it.
Figured
he's
out, yeah. Sorting out the microphone, yeah.
Okay, that's all lovely. Right. That was a lovely wee treat, that was actually.
I'll be back.
Okay, bye bye, Reuben.
Nice Terminator
bye.
Impression there at the end.
Say what? I'll
nice
be back.
Terminator. Yeah.
Well, I mean, seriously, we dote over all of them, but he is a dote.
Oh, he's dote, he is adorable now, in fairness.
Isn't he just? And so well behaved.
Oh, he's very good. But it's just, I just find it so funny. Everybody
expecting something else from somebody descended from Fionnuala, is that what you're saying?
Oh, God, no. He definitely has started to come into his own. You do, he definitely...
Did you bring a list in with you or are we gonna wing it?
Yeah, no. The strength of personality is starting to come out.
Oh, he's getting to be like you. Oh, that's a shame.
He is adorable.
By the way, we have 7 minutes to get your tickets. You know what it's for. Website highlandradio.com. We have to have a strict cutoff at 11:15 because we have to make sure that every ticket that's purchased goes into the drum, which you can see there. We have a specific camera for it today. And that draw will be made live. So you can watch live if you wish on our socials and on our website. That draw is going to be at 11:30. Someone's going to win €2,500 in cash. You don't have to answer the call. It's not five rings. It's nothing. Your number, your name, you're the winner. So that's coming up at 11:30. You've 7 minutes. I won't mention it again, but you've got 7 minutes. Get on the website or give us a call here on 07491 25000, and we'll make sure everyone is processed and in that draw drum. And once you're in that draw drum, it's not just for today. That's it. You've got your position secured for next week's $2,500, the $2,500 after that, the $2,500 after that, and then the $10,000 on that same day of the last $2,500. Grand, $2,500. There you go. All right, I can't do any more now at this stage.
I've given too much, but make sure we get all the calls answered.
Yeah, exactly. I've given everyone as much notice as possible. It's not on your list. Have any of you come across Sugar on Apple? Colin Farrell? It's really, really good.
Oh, this is a detective thing.
Yeah.
I've read about this,
I've watched about three episodes. It's lovely.
I would say it would be my
cool
kind of thing, yeah.
And I'd be very interested if any listeners have watched it. It's just so cool and well shot. And
he's a detective,
really,
isn't
really
that
good.
Right?
Yeah.
That's
one was brilliant. Episode two was brilliant. Episode three, you know, I think there's always a lull in these seven or eighters.
Yes.
It's one of those ones I can't wait to sit down and watch it again. It's
excellent.
Really nicely
okay.
shot. He's really good in it.
Oh, wow.
He's really good. He's cool.
I'm always so weird about him. I just don't know what I... I love him in some things and then other things I'm like, oh, God.
Watch this. He just plays a really cool character. I don't know if it's off a book or whatever it might be. But
check it out.
It's a really...
And remind me, I did read it. Is it present day or is it set in the like...
It's kind of interesting because it's all bells and whistles, but it feels like it's set in the 60s. So they've got phones and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
But it's very much he's a massive film buff, old black and white films, old American cars. It's very, feels very of the 50s and 60s, but then, of course, everything around it is modern.
Yes.
So he's a private eye. He works for either individually or for a group. It's not really quite clear. He finds people that are missing.
Yes.
And he's contacted by a massive Hollywood producer whose granddaughter has gone missing, and he's a film buff, and so far it's good. I hope it maintains it, because I hope when it's finished I can go, wow,
what a great show.
That was really good. But I've really enjoyed the first three episodes. I love the way it's shot and the dialogue, and it's, you know, it's really cool.
You've sold me on it big time. And I like those things where the timeline, do you remember the TV show Gotham? Gotham did a thing where it was, it had all the modern stuff, but it also looked like the 50s.
Yeah. You feel like you're watching a show. In fact, it starts off in black and white. You feel like you're watching a show of the 60s, but it is modern. And his character, I don't know if there's going to be a twist in it, but he's just very calm. He's non-violent. He's got a background. They all have a background, right? Mm. But he just seems like a very likable character.
Oh, good.
Right. Hi, Kathy. Good morning to you. Hi, Kathleen, Eileen, Noreen, Grania, and all of you watching the show. It's really good to have you on board. I sometimes forget to say hello. Right, so you went to see Kneecap in the cinema. Now, Kneecap, for many people, don't know what's going on here, because they wouldn't be familiar with his music. Next thing you know, he happens also to be playing in Letterkenny.
Yeah.
Right, so you've got this sort of this trio of things happening. So apparently he's a really quite successful artist.
Three lads.
Up in Letterkenny performing, and they are a film on about them, effectively.
General release.
In the cinema.
Well, that would have been me.
It's come out of nothing for a lot of people.
Yeah.
A lot of them are massive fans, hence this media attention and stuff. But so I suppose I'll go with you then first, someone who knew nothing about them.
I knew absolutely nothing about them, and we had seen a trailer for them, and I remember saying to Michael, oh God, not my cup of tea whatsoever. So I went into this. The reason why we went, as we mentioned it last week, is that, and Michael can explain, but there's a Donegal connection, and he'll do that end.
Big Donegal connection.
So we went, we said, oh sure, we'll go and see it. I didn't just go with no expectations. I went with negative expectations. Most people will know, I don't like things that are kind of like crude. I don't like, you know, I'm not a big like fan of things like, we say, The Inbetweeners, you know, the Bridesmaids movies, The Hangover, things like that. They just don't...
Like Bridesmaids?
No, I think Bridesmaids is a terrible movie.
I think it's brilliant.
I know. People love it. It's just not my... I just don't understand.
I don't really like comedies because I think primarily they're crap.
Yeah.
But Bridesmaids did make me giggle. I'm
not big into that kind of like toilet humour and all that stuff. I don't know.
That's the best bit.
Just doesn't do it for me. So I was expecting to really not like this. And I was, I have to say, blown away by it. And I don't know why I was blown away by it the longer it's gone on since I saw it, because I've been thinking about it
of a good film.
In my head, because it does have all those elements that I don't like.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's huge excesses and there's, bits in it and you're like, oh, that's just in it to be a bit kind of shocking. And it's not really part of, you know, they're not necessary to the story, if you know what I mean. There's lots of different bits and pieces like that in it that you're kind of like, I don't know why that's in it. But there's just something lovely about it. It's very endearing. The kind of the story and the music draws you in. I didn't realize it was bilingual. This is like how little I knew about this. All of a sudden I was like, oh, what are they speaking Irish? And then you're like, get really drawn into the Irish. I actually was thinking one thing, it's a pity that there's, you know, a little bit of sex, violence and drugs in it, because you'd love kids to see it. As in the rest of it,
they probably will.
As in, I know,
yeah,
but
I,
you know what I mean.
Too.
As
they
in,
will. They will, yeah.
you'd love teenagers to see it. You know, as in, I'd be recommending it were it not for the.
But
you know,
I do like only drugs, in the trailer. There's a real Inbetweeners vibe to the trailer.
100%, there absolutely is, and even like, to be honest, the the drug excesses is so excessive in it, you know, the way that you're, it nearly becomes farcical, if you know what I mean. So you nearly put up that, but there's a lot of bit of other kind of sex and violence and stuff that would make you say, all right, you wouldn't. But I actually thought it was really kind of a modern sort of a not being a true Gaelgore myself, but having a love of the Irish, I just thought there was a lovely kind of a modern feel for it, to think of young people out, you know, singing.
It was authentic then.
Well,
you know,
it is, when, because to be honest, you kind of get sucked down a rabbit hole with them, and you end up spending the whole week googling bits about them.
I've been doing that too.
And they are genuinely, these are three guys that two of them were kind of best friends growing up type thing, came from, and I don't want to be overstepping the mark from what I've read, they seem to have come from fairly Republican backgrounds, growing, you know, in the Republican part of Belfast, and they're very one of the young guys in it, his father was a person that was, I think, one of the founding members of Radio Fáilte, which is the Irish language radio station in Belfast. And actually, they give radio a lovely nod the support that radio gives artists and playing it and that kind of thing. So, but there's they do seem to come from that kind of, you know, from that genuine life experience. They spoke Irish in their homes. Then they happened to meet each other then at a later point in life. One of them was kind of writing poetry, and then it suddenly turned into this music that they do now. The rapping is kind of done bilingually. It's sort of like, I'd say probably the whole movie is probably about 60-40, isn't it?
Yeah.
Probably about 60-40, but it is all subtitled. And then when it comes to the rapping, then there's lots of kind of like graphics and stuff like that that go with it. I would love to have been in the room when somebody said, we have this script, and you know who'd love to do this? Michael Fassbender. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's an Oscar-winning guy who obviously would love to be in a thing about three lads from Belfast that became, an Irish language rap group. He is brilliant in it.
Yeah.
And Simone Kirby is the next person who's in it, who's like a recognisable actress. But to be honest, between Simone Kirby and Michael Fassbender, I recognise nobody else. As in, you know, they may have been in little bits here, little bits there, but nothing else. The three guys play themselves. And to be honest, for the first hour and a half, I thought they were actors. They were amazing.
Just talented then.
One or two of them in particular were fantastic.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah.
The guy that plays Mo Cara, the guy that plays Mo Cara, the guy that is Mo Cara.
Yeah. He plays him really well.
He plays himself.
He really
excellently
understands that character.
I would like to see him in something else. He's so good. You're like, I'd actually like to see him act in something.
I would say that about them all. They were good,
so good
actors. Like,
he was really good in it.
You know, how many films, I wonder, do you take with you out the door? You know, I mean, obviously you have to come in here and talk about them, right?
Yeah.
But there's not many, you know, you can, even a good film, there's not many sort of you take with you and then
think about it
and sort of, and it actually matures in your consciousness. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, said, yeah. Definitely did. I'm all weak now. And as I said, I could not have gone with less expectations.
True.
And it was just, I really, really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Over to you.
You were sold. Yeah, so I loved it. I echo everything. I mean, I thought this is a fantastic film. And it works because it's very simple. It's laser focused on just telling the story of these guys who love the Irish language. And there's a lot of other stuff in the mix, and they're young lads, and they're up to what young lads are obviously up to, what you've talked about. But it's all, they have a passion. They just have a passion for the Irish language. And the movie never strays too far away from that. You get caught up in it and you really enjoy it. And it's visually very impressive. There are sequences in the film
that... Is it political?
It's political in the sense that the Irish language is political. And by that, it became a political language when...
Because I think that's a challenge for artists and filmmakers to celebrate our culture without it being seen as being ultra political.
Yes.
But
I think it's political.
I think the nation.
Yeah.
The nation has struggled with that over the last 100 years. How can we proudly say who we are and talk of our culture without offending someone?
Yes. I think what they do is they own it straight away. The fact is the Irish language is political because you have a situation going back a couple of hundred years where we would have been forbidden, natives would have been forbidden to speak the Irish language. So then speaking it becomes a political act, and that's addressed early on in the film. So by, I think, turning right into that at the start of the film, they kind of own it, and it never becomes, they own it.
I think what gives it the authenticity is it is a little bit political And I suppose for these guys growing up in Belfast, Irish language was a political thing at a point when they were going. But I think it's...
But we've avoided talking about it because of that, I think.
Yeah, they lean it. Like, I mean, there was a time in it when you're kind of thinking to yourself, well, you know, I've seen different documentaries, I've seen different things now where, you know, the Protestant loyalist community, whatever words you want to use to describe that side, are now trying to re-embrace Irish as part of their culture as well, because apparently it is in, you know, even in the Orange Order and things like that, apparently there is Gaeilge used in old documents and old things like that going back far enough.
You've got Scots-Irish.
So, yeah, all this kind of thing. So it's very much that they're, you know, there's a lot of people going for lessons now, and it's just, you know, it's being reclaimed as it is across the whole island.
Oh, big time, yeah,
Ireland,
big time, yeah.
That people are getting bigger, you know, more into it. Mm. So
it's more accessible, and it's being taught.
And it doesn't belong to one particular community.
No, exactly. That's a key thing,
You know, and that's kind of, you know, culture. I suppose culturally, that's probably what's happening more in Belfast. In this, that isn't really addressed in that kind of thing. I think it is.
There is a romance in the story which has one person from one side of the divide and one person from the other side of the divide, and they make that part of it too. I just feel the script writers anticipated any issues and just owned them. They just said, right, let's just do it.
What's quite significant in this is that them effectively debuting as actors is important, but it's nothing to be... They must be really good because they get the praise, and now we're just moving on to the... okay, brilliant stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, so massive thumbs up then.
Massive thumbs up, and there's a Donegal connection, a massive Donegal connection. A local filmmaker and musician, Steve McCollum, who would be well known for Narty Station films. I know Steve, I've been involved with some of his projects. He has done some amazing animation over the years, going back at least 20 years at this point. In the film, there are a couple of animated sequences, and they're in the trailer, and he's the guy responsible for that, and that's another reason for local people to have an interest in it. I was interested anyway once I saw the trailer, but I was like, oh, okay, I got to see the film then. And yeah, huge thumbs up. I mean, this is a great film. There's no way getting away from it. It's funny, and it's sweet at the back of it, despite all the bad language and the carry on and the drugs and whatever. It's just sweet. It's sweet. Well, means it's,
and I think what they did really with some of it is they leaned nearly into the farcical with some of the things that people might find offensive, which then kind of brought it round again. You know what I mean? So it just, like I said, I think even if you think it's not for it's you, very, I would go and give it a try, because I think you'll definitely come out, even if it's only coming out.
If there were like 10 things in the script that they thought might be offensive, they smartly decided to dial each one up to 11.
Yeah.
So it becomes like, you know, you go with it. You go with it.
Are ye familiar with this? Maybe you could tell us what it is. What do you associate that piece of music with? It's not with you, you can guess.
To remember something, which is a disaster.
It's the Guinness ad.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you remember that?
The guy jumping around.
Okay, yeah,
as well as a documentary film, or a documentary films, a research and documentary on Joe McKinney, the actor who was made famous overnight in 1994. Thanks to that Guinness advert, which was called Anticipation.
Okay, I've never got that.
So we're going to be speaking to Kevin Cassidy, the director of Dancing Man documentary. It's going to, I'm really interested to see where they're going with this. That's coming up after we take this quick break. We are like little busy beavers loading up the draw drum for our big draw, which is coming up a little later on. I'm joined on the program now by Kevin Cassidy, director of Dancing Man competition. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
Great to see you. And you're nicely relaxed and standing up. We don't get that too often. It's lovely to see. How are you keeping?
Very good, thank you.
It looks like you're actually ready to remind our viewers of some of the moves. So talk to us about the obviously the subject of this documentary, but why it's a story, in your view, worth telling?
Well, I think the story of the Guinness ad, first of all, was a huge deal back in the day, and that's 30 years ago this year. And it came across a time, you know, ads obviously have a position in that they can kind of enter the public psyche. They become, you know, people remember them long after maybe some of the shows and films they've watched. And the Guinness ad was one of those ads. And Joe, of course, became famous because of the ad. And that's, as it's 30 years ago, we thought, we still get people talking online about the greatest ads of all time. And do you remember the Guinness ad? And quite often the question comes up, whatever happened to? And it's and he's been referred to as, you know, the dancing man from the Guinness ad. And so we thought we'd tell that story.
Yeah, and listen, the word viral is almost every second word we use nowadays, and it's often associated with social media and what have you. But this, he went, this dance, this ad, this gentleman, Joe, went viral.
And it was a complete unexpected success. As Joe has been telling us so far in our research for the documentary, he went along to do a gig for a day. It was a one-day thing. He did the audition. He got it. He did the ad. Granted, it was Guinness, so he knew it was a significant, you know, piece of work to get, but obviously had no idea. And I don't think Guinness had any idea that it would become the success it was. So he went back to auditioning and working the next day, thought nothing of it. In fact, interestingly enough, when you talk about how the ad might have been planned and how much thought went into it, on the day he did his audition, the dance he did was completely different to the song. It was Stereo MC's Connected that he danced to.
Okay.
So, you know, there was a certain amount of kind of happen, chance and luck that comes with a lot of things, you know, creative. But
I always find the best documentaries often cover issues about happenstance. And like, I am fascinated. There's loads of questions I would have. Don't put me asking you now, because I look forward to the documentary. But in terms of what you're talking about there, the ad on the day, you know, what it meant to him, what dividend there was for him coming out of it, and so on and so forth. As I say, all those answers are there, and I'm sure in your conversations with him, you're getting to them. But what can the listener's role be then in what you're putting together?
Well, I guess one of the reasons that we got to make, I've always been fascinated by this ad. I remember at the time, it hit around the time of Riverdance. It hit about the time that Ireland were in USA 94 and had beaten Italy in Giant Stadium. So there's this huge sort of growth in confidence across the country. And he kind of epitomized that, you know, this very confident guy dancing about with his Guinness. And it left a mark. And then I think what happened was you started to hear people's stories saying, you know, we used it as a dance at our wedding. We used it at parties. People parried it. People copied the dance and mimicked it. And then many years later, I was at a wedding and I was sitting beside this couple, and the woman was from Australia. And I said, oh, you know, how did you end up moving to Ireland? And she said, the Guinness ad. And I said, what do you mean by that? And she said, well, do you remember the Guinness guy dancing? She said, I was in Australia. I was shared the ad and I fell in love with this guy, Joe McKinney, the dancer. And I moved to Ireland to meet my Joe McKinney. You've got to be joking me. So this story, I thought, okay, this really has had a huge effect. And it kind of got us thinking, you know, we have unsubstantiated reports that he did his dance in Frankie's nightclub in Rafow back in the mid-90s. Now, maybe some of your listeners can verify that, but what we're looking for is, do you have any experiences of the ad? What are your memories of the ad? We're trying to take as much sort of material we can from the public of what they remember of that time. And was it a dance at a wedding? You know, did you parody the dance? Do you remember seeing Joe doing his thing?
And as bizarre as that call out sounds, so many people are impacted by it. Those stories are there. And I know you're chucking out examples, but you could get something that you never even imagined coming back at you. What was happening at the time you saw it, or what impact it had? Maybe you met someone or whatever it could be. You know, this, as I say, the question is such that the answers can be so broad and we never know. And that's when you cast a wide net, you're looking for that one or two really, truly remarkable stories, those like you talk of. How do people get in touch? Eric at documentfilms.com.
Eric is leading the research on the documentary. So if you have any stories, like you say, Greg, and any memories of that time, we'd love to hear them, and you can share them with Eric at, and his email address is eric@documentfilms.com.
And is this being commissioned? Are you making this and then you're going to pitch it to the networks or whatever? Or like, I'm trying to get to a point where, as I know, when we're going to see it.
Yeah. Well, same.
Okay, that answers that question. Then, so.
We first had a conversation about this, believe it or not, in 2019, just before COVID. COVID shelved everything for us for a couple of years. But the idea is we're making this documentary, and it's going to the film festivals next summer. So that's the plan. It'll be touring festivals here in Europe and hopefully in the US. So documentary won't be ready till about next March or April. But that's where people will be able to see it, and then obviously broadcasters to follow.
And it's one of those, and I'm not blowing smoke, I think it's actually just a really good idea. It's one of those ones, if you're from outside of Ireland, you have no idea what we're talking about here, it's going to be very interesting. But if you do know when it triggers memory, it's going to be interesting, and so on and so forth. All right, great. Look forward to it, and maybe get a chat with you, Kevin, closer to the time of its release. Thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you, Greg.
Take care, Kevin. Kevin Cassidy, director of the Dancing Man documentary. Eric, E-R-I-K, at documentfilms.com. Right, okay. We're going to take a break. If you want to watch who wins the $2,500, get onto our YouTube channel, Highland Radio Ireland. Get onto the X platform, Highland Radio, or on Facebook, and you can watch. Otherwise, just sit back, relax, listen on the radio, because you'll still find out who wins after these. Okay, you're welcome back. It's that time. It is our first draw of the Mega Summer Draw. 20,000 in total to be won. We're about to give away €2,500. We've been very thorough. Everyone who bought a ticket, their number is now in the draw drum. Such is Fionnuala's love of this draw drum. She has already been rotating it an awful lot. But I think in the interests of sort of satisfaction, we will give it a wee turn here. It is just really, don't let it fall. Careful. Oh my, right, okay. Right, so the draw drum has been rotated. So you can open the lid there. Okay, and someone is about to have €2,500 in cash. So look at me and dig deep, dear.
No problem at all. Let's go down in here. Makes me think of that. You remember the nurses thing that used to be on when we were kids? Yes.
Okay, the ticket is out.
Okay, so the ticket is out, and the ticket number is 1867.
Ticket 1867.
Ticket
now,
number 1867.
You have won that money, by the way. If that is your number, you have won the money, and the number, the winning ticket is 1867. You don't have to do anything. But we're going to get your name together. We might even give you a call to see what the crack is. But you don't have to answer the phone to win. 1-867. Did you get... Is that 1-867? Okay, that's it,
perfect.
Actually.
So
it goes back in.
Back into the draw. So that person may...
Oh, don't do a Sean on it. They may, but the chances of the same number coming out twice.
So I must sit down and do the math.
Okay.
I'm very curious about what the math would be.
Okay, it's being rotated again. All right, so that's exciting.
So it is ready to go.
Someone is about to win €2,500 in cash, and we'll give the name out shortly and we'll see what the story is. All right, that's brilliant. Now, by the way, that's not it. That was just the first part. As the week wears on, we'll remind you, of course, that €2,500 will be given away on The Breakfast Show, The Naughty Alarm Clock with Lee Gooch. Then there's another and then 10 on this show again. So fair play. Now maybe it's your chance to buy your ticket, because we don't know where the ticket comes out, because it's numbers, right? So there's a certain amount of low numbers or whatever. Are they given out like that? Is it?
Okay. No, absolutely. So next, so you just don't know. We just throw them all in and then you dig deep and see whatever you get.
Your lucky number could be a four-digit number higher than that. Right. Before we get that name and double-check everything, the Friday's winners of our... fantastic prizes, thanks to our friends at the National Heritage Week, which starts tomorrow, runs to Sunday the 25th. We have two final family heritage cards worth £90 each given away to Anne Boyce from Cool Boy in Letterkenny. She correctly answered Doncaster. Well done. Thank you for that, Anne. And Paul McLean Murlog, you also correctly answered Doncaster. So you have these, cards now, which permits two adults and five children to over 45 OPW-managed heritage sites across the country, many of the most beautiful here, of course, in County Donegal. And just remember, there are lots of events happening, from guided walks, free access to historical sites, craft demonstration, workshops, dance classes, song shops. It's all on Heritage Week from Saturday the 17th to Sunday the 25th of August. So that's that. Well done. Thanks for the support of all of those. Right, okay, so... let's move on. It ends with us in the cinema as well, actually. Has this been divided? Oh, hold on a second, because I think I might be getting a name here. Have we got a name? Okay, let us see. Right, okay. Let's go to line one. Good morning, Alana.
Hiya, how are you?
Alana Doherty from Kilmacrenan. How are you keeping?
I'm keeping not too bad. How are you, Greg?
I'm doing fantastic, Alana. Now, you entered our draw, didn't you?
Yeah, my mum was actually telling me about it last night, so I got the short straw and I had to actually buy the tickets for her.
The short straw, you say? What if I told you it's a very long straw, which stretches to €2,500? Because, Alana, your ticket, 186, was just drawn from our draw drum, and you or your mum, you can fight about it amongst yourselves, have won €2,500.
Oh, ticket, it's very good. Thank you.
All right, so how are you going to divvy that up?
Oh, well, I'm definitely the golden child now, so I am.
Okay. So, Patricia, your mum, she charged you with buying the tickets, but they're actually Patricia's tickets, so you can sort that out amongst yourselves. But anyway, ticket 1867 was the ticket that you bought, and Patricia and the family, you have won €2,500.
Oh, that's perfect. Thank you so much, Greg. That's going to make her day anyway.
Well, Don, you'll enjoy the weekend, so there's no point me asking what you're going to spend it on, because it's not yours, but we might ask Patricia down the line. Thanks so much, Alana.
Sorry?
I was going to say, what are you going to do with the money, but it's not up to you, so I'll not bother with that question this time.
Oh, I'm sure she can find a way to thank me anyway.
Ooh, sounds lovely. All right, good stuff. Thanks, Alana. Lovely to talk to you. Thanks for taking the call as well. It does help. It's not essential, but it's nice. All right, Alana Doherty from Kilmacrenan, who bought the ticket on behalf of her mother, Patricia Doherty. So it's Patricia, ticket 1867. Congratulations, you've won €2,500 tax-free monies. Yes, a lot of people have to earn $5,000 to take $2,500 home. So that's fantastic. Well done. Now, very distracting. Gurning, I don't know how you'd describe it, face pulling, distress, have I done something wrong?
No, you said 186 and I panicked and I thought, oh God, don't tell me we've given the money. We rang the wrong person or ticket wrong. No, that was perfect.
I'm trying to create content, right? And I've got the CEO.
And giving Fionnuala a heart attack on air. She was like,
what did he just say?
I'm trying to create content.
Yes.
Right, okay.
I know.
Quality content, professional.
Absolutely.
Owner of the radio station flipping out in front of me.
Yeah.
Easy to keep together.
I would love to play poker with Fionnuala based on what happened in the last 2 minutes, because you have such a great poker face, Fionnuala. Like, when something goes wrong, you're like,
but it's all good.
I know.
It's all good.
I did momentarily panic.
Okay, but we're all good, yeah?
We are all good in the hood. Absolutely. And I hope that Patricia or Alana, whoever manages to get hold of the check first.
No, it's Patricia's. I think it's Patricia. But Alana is now the number one child.
That's it.
And it's just gone up to Kilmacrenan. And this is what I love about our summer cash draw. It feels like it's ours.
Yeah, you absolutely.
I mean? A smaller number of people from our area, primarily, generally speaking. It's,
yeah, yeah, yeah. So it tends
great.
To stay
okay,
within
well
the thing.
Well done. Well
it's
done,
lovely.
Alana. And she's so polite and nice as well.
Battle.
I felt like I know her. I don't think I do. But anyway, there you go. Right. Okay. So I'm going to take a break. And then we're going to come back with whatever Caroline tells me to do next. Back in a sec. So I have Shane Barr, the organiser of Summer Sessions, with us in studio. Shane, good morning to you. Thanks so much for calling in.
How are you, Greg?
I'm doing fantastic. Congratulations. You know, in getting this event together. When did you come up with the notion of it?
I suppose I'm one of the organisers, Greg. I was approached to give them a hand and delighted to get on board and give them a hand for the weekend. I suppose Letterkenny needs a... there's so many amazing things happening in Letterkenny, and they felt that they needed a music festival.
Of a scale,
that could offer music of and entertainment of that high level, and I suppose there's a lot of plans for next year as well, which is very exciting going forward, you know.
Okay, and I suppose it's too about bringing artists of a calibre that normally you have to travel to see.
Exactly, Greg, yeah, and that's really what it's about, is trying to provide that offering in Donegal as opposed to going to Belfast and Dublin, and there's loads of excellent stuff happening around Donegal at the moment with good festivals, and I think it's reminiscent of the entertainment industry not to have one in Letterkenny, as it's the heart of the county, or the most populated town in the county as well, Greg.
Well, it's like anything, you know, you can have these plans, but you need the footfall as well too, don't you, Shane? And we were speaking to a promoter or an organiser in Derry recently, and it was the same sort of a message. You know, there's a lot of front-loading here. of sort of expense and booking acts and all that type of stuff. And I suppose then, and in Derry, they're actually looking for some council support to sort of mitigate any risks, right? But we often don't think about it when you guys are organising stuff like that this year. You put the acts together, you put the big tent up and what have you, but you need the people to go. And ticket sales have been really good.
Yeah, look, it's a big expense, surely. It's a massive infrastructure. The site there is the old Unify site in Kiltoy. It's a very, very large site, and it's a massive infrastructure in terms of what's in place with the big top tent, the building of the fun fair and the carnival rides, the backstage green room area, which is nearly an area in itself, the bar areas, the food vendor areas, and then toilets and accessible services as well with wheelchair users. So it's a massive site and a massive build. It took 12 days to put together, and it'll take about 5 or 6 days, I'm sure, for them to take it down. So yeah, it's a massive infrastructure and a massive cost.
And
yeah.
Was the big top idea, was that sort of to create a certain type of festival, or was it to sort of insulate against potential weather?
No, I suppose it's a bit of both. They're used at most festivals,
yeah,
Greg, to ensure if it is raining that people can get inside the arena and enjoy an atmosphere that's not affected by the weather. Of course, it creates that carnival festival experience as well, and that's really what it's about, is that festival experience, albeit some more headline shows as opposed to a big billing of festival lineup. But yeah, it's a good atmosphere, and it's bodes well, yeah.
Yeah, and some brilliant acts on tonight. Tonight's a dance night. Gates at 6 p.m. running to 11:30. It's all over 18. But some you managed to get a great lineup for tonight.
Yeah, no, it's about offering for different people. So last night it was Kneecap who are making great waves at the moment.
What a booking! When did you book them?
About 6 months ago they were booked, wow. Greg, and it just happened that the movie fell the week before. Yeah, so they were amazing. They were amazing last night, and then the dance night tonight, the Wolf Tones and special guests tomorrow night, and then it finishes then with a family fun day on Sunday, in association with yourselves here at Highland Radio. Which is all for the children and the families. And then on Sunday afternoon or Sunday evening, there's an amazing Queen tribute band on stage alongside the Dublin Gospel Choir.
There's levels of tribute acts, and Queen, spelled Q-W-E-E-N, they're at the top of the game.
Yeah, they're probably renowned as the best in Europe, yeah. Greg, and they're on stage with the Dublin Gospel Choir Orchestra, so that's going to be special.
Right.
At the same time.
Performance, yes, brilliant. Well, yes. That's going to be some sound.
Yeah, so that's on Sunday, and as I say, the gates are 4:30. Guns Reloaded are on first at 6:00, and then Queen come on then at with the Dublin Gospel Choir just after 8:10. So
yeah,
that's exciting.
Right. So what about ticket availability for the dance night tonight? Brian Kearney, Shugs, Symmetric, Will Atkinson all performing. Are there any tickets available for tonight, Shane?
Yeah, there's tickets on the gate for tonight.
Okay, great.
They're also on the website, but
you can roll up.
You can roll up. Yeah.
Obviously, you know, the Wolf Tones are absolutely huge. They've got some brilliant special guests with them. Any availability there?
There are a couple of hundred tickets released on the ticket office,
okay,
at this festival site that can be got between 4:00 and 8:00 today.
Yes.
And that's available. Once they're gone, there's only a couple of hundred. As I say, the site is large, and the big top capacity is quite big, but the demand for this gig has been very, very big. And then on Sunday, you can also get tickets on the gate for the Queen show as
well.
Right,
but can you just, for the family fun day, can you just roll up with your family between 12 p.m. and 3:30, yeah?
Absolutely, yeah. So it's the best way to do it. We do have tickets available on the website, but in terms of family fun day, it's just rolling up on the day and that, yeah.
Right, so, and just to recap, I know you said this very special collaboration between Europe's top Queen tribute act, Queen. They are going to be performing with the Dublin Gospel Choir, and I'm already imagining, you know, some of the really big hits of Queen, what this might actually sound like. It's going to be something else. There are some tickets for that as well, did you say?
There are, Greg, yeah. And as I say, the gates are 4:30. There's a Guns Reloaded, which is a Guns N' Roses tribute on beforehand. And that Queen tribute with the Dublin Gospel Choir just recently played Limerick, St. John's Castle, and they sold 2,500 tickets, which is incredible for a tribute act on their own, you know. So we're really excited about that one as well on Sunday, and you can rock up from 4:30 on paying the gate.
Happy days. All right, listen, there's something for everyone there, Shane. I love the fact that you're talking about next year again already as well, because this is about establishing this as an annual event, isn't it?
I think the first year, really, Greg, is just that showcase for people to see what it is and the scale of it. And we've been working really well locally with the Falch Ireland and with the Donegal Tourism, with the Donegal County Council Chamber of Commerce there, with Tony Forrester and Claire there, and also with some of the hospitality venues in the town. And it's important that everybody gets a kick off this festival, and it's not just one town show. So it finishes at 11:30. Get the punters into the hospitality venues, staying in hotels, using taxis, eating in restaurants and bars.
It's like that euro. It's like the trickle down of that euro, isn't it? 1 euro spent, what is the dividend of it?
And that's very important.
Like the multiplier.
Yeah, and that's important because we want to have a massive impact on tourism, first of all, but secondly, the economic development in Letterkenny, you know, so that's important.
And also working close with An Garda Síochána and to keep local businesses, local communities happy, the Gardaí are employing a zero tolerance approach to illegal parking. Hey, that's not the festival's issue, but just don't park your car where it's not supposed to be, because you don't want to come out and ruin your night with a ticket. Forewarned is forearmed. Did I hear shuttle buses are in action now?
Yeah, so the traffic arrangements and the Gardaí, the local Gardaí, have been fantastic, Greg. Yeah. We've been working with them for the last number of months, as well as the fire service and the HSE and the medical. But on the traffic, there are park and rides in place, Greg. So due to the large volume of numbers on Saturday, there's going to be a lot of traffic, and we're advising people to travel early and get to Letterkenny. The gates are 3:30 on Saturday, so we're advising people to get in early as possible into the town anyway, and get parked in one of the park and rides, and then there's a shuttle from the park and ride.
Where can people find out where they are?
Yeah, so they're available on the social media as of this morning. And just really quickly, Greg, for people travelling from the Belfast Derry Road direction, there's a car park at Manor Cunningham just off the Main Jewel Carriageway. There'll be stewards and signs there that they won't miss it. The Derry Road and Belfast Road can also use the Dry Arch Business Park, which will be stewarded as well. The Sligo Bally Buffet Road is the Neil T. Blaney Road Car Park. The Kilmacrennan Road, so that's the Gweedore Falcara direction, is using just outside here, the Pine Hill Business Park here at the mountain top. The Dunloe Glenties Road are designated to the Letterkenny Retail Park there. But that's important that we try and get that message out, because we want the people to go to them car parks and then they hop in a little shuttle and down and back up.
Yeah, couldn't. And listen, I think you have every question I have, you've the answer. You have ticked all the boxes. Well done to you. All right, brilliant stuff, Shane.
All right, Greg, thanks.
Shane Barr, one of the organisers of Summer Sessions, back after these. Okay, I want to go to see Queen on Sunday night. Do you think she'll let me?
I'd say they'd be excellent.
Well, I mean, Roisin, if she's listening, maybe to look after Hudson, I don't know. Be nice, wouldn't it?
Yes. That's it.
Yeah. Right, there's a lot going on.
He can come down and play with Reuben.
Really? Actually, do you know what? He's so much fun now, and he's really, really good with other kids.
Yeah.
But it's amazing how, day to day, you see a change on Hudson at the age he's at. Like, literally, I mean, his core personality's there. But then there's this level, this layer of smart, like reason now. You can reason with him now. You can say, if you get into the bath, this can happen.
Yeah.
And it works. You know, there's this, before it was like, nah, no. You know what I mean?
Oh, I do.
So it is actually a real trick. So come here, Michael, Flula, let's talk about all the stuff that's happening, because there's an awful lot happening in
there. Yes, oh my God, things you want to say.
Yeah, no, there's a load of stuff happening this weekend in and around Letterkenny, I'm sure in other places, but just I have the Letterkenny list here. So we have the Summer Sessions is on, so as we were just humming away there.
Carry on.
Yeah, with the Summer Sessions on and the whole thing.
He invited me down on Sunday, but... Right, is that inviting me to come and pay at the door? I don't know. I don't know what the kind of invite was, but anyway.
What else?
Sure, if you're invited by one of the organisers, does that mean you get like
I would definitely be throwing my name about. Do you not know who I am?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, okay.
Definitely.
Brilliant. Do you know who I am?
Indian Day in the summer, in the theatre, sorry. There's Indian Day in the theatre where there's like a big cultural festival for all the Indian communities. So if anybody wants to call in and meet some of the Indian community around and about, they will be there. And I think there's going to be like food and tastings and all different kinds of stuff.
And the variety of tastes taste of Indian food, traditional Indian food, north, south, east, west, is remarkable. The different flavours, oh, whether it's kokum, milk, tomatoes, onions.
Absolutely, and the different traditions and everything. So that'll be an amazing thing to do. And then, just as myself has been part of the Chamber and our own very Jimmy Stafford here, the Busking Festival is on this weekend, and there's over 30 entries this weekend. So it's going to be amazing. So it's on from 1:30. As you're walking up and down the town, you will see all of the artists out. And I mean, there's...
And do you know what they have this year? It's dry.
Oh, I know.
We're going to have a dry weekend primarily.
I know. Last week, last year that I was doing it, it was raining except for the 2 hours of the festival. But it was amazing to see. I know last year the Ukulele Festival won it, but we've had that's where Murrin Bradley got discovered by Highland, was through the Busking Festival and that kind of
Dole
thing.
Dole won it.
I know.
She came through.
Oh, no, she was here before, whatever.
Are you sure?
But Donald's group are so fun, though, I have to say.
They're brilliant. They're fabulous fun, yeah.
You see them out on the thing. They are so fun. Yeah. But, yes, so there's going to be loads of live music. Take yourself into town, have a nice wander around for yourself and enjoy
the weekend. Interesting to see if they could come down to the On Green on at the start of September, maybe.
Yeah, absolutely.
That'd be cool.
Right, yeah, it would be cool.
Okay. Is that everything? So we've got the Indian Festival in on Greenon, which is going to be beautiful. Obviously, lots of colour and taste and sounds.
100%.
You've the Busking Festival, which is all over Letterkenny, which is fantastic. Yeah. Summer sessions. And then there's lots happening elsewhere in the county.
Yeah.
All right, listen, thank you both of you. All right, that's where we have to leave it today.